That I've ever wanted to minister here and in my 20 years of ministry. And the verse that came to mind when I think about ministry is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is Paul speaking, and he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." It's about Jesus Christ and him crucified. And Paul says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." You see, Paul got the revelation. It's the whole thing is about Jesus Christ. It's not about me. Church is not about me. It's about Jesus. Hallelujah. It's about him. It's about what he's done. And of course, that he's come to save us. Truly the Savior of the world. He is our hope. Glory to God. There is no other hope. He is our only hope. And he is more than enough. Glory to God. But we see that Jesus, of course, died on a cross, taking our sins upon himself. He was stripped naked. He was bare, beaten, died on a cross, the most humiliating and miserable, torturous thing that could happen, he did for us. He died on our behalf. He took our sin upon himself. And in that moment, which looks like the greatest defeat, here's the Son of God dying, and that is the victory that we have? How can that be? The cross doesn't make any sense. Logically, it looks like the greatest defeat, but it was the greatest victory because on that cross, Jesus defeated sin on your behalf. He defeated death. He defeated the devil. He overcame this world. Glory to God. And so Paul saw in that, you know what? In weakness is God's greatest strength in manifestation. And that's why Paul said, "I come in weakness and in fear and in much trembling," because he knew when he was weak, hallelujah, God's strength would overcome and lift him up and help him to do what he's been called to do. And the same is true with us, and same is true in my ministry. I am nothing. Christ is everything, and I can do nothing, but all glory belongs to Jesus Christ and him alone. And the same is true with all of us. Let's make sure we always give glory to Jesus Christ for what he has done. Amen. And so in Luke chapter 1, we know this wonderful story, the announcement of Jesus coming to the earth. Verse 26 is where I'm going to start. And it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Verse 30, it says, And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Hallelujah. Jesus. His very name means salvation. This is a proclamation of the redemption plan that was planned before time began. Before the foundations of the earth, God saw that man would fall into a state of sin and death that he could never recover from. It was impossible for man to save himself, so God would send himself to save us. God would send Jesus to save us. Verse 35, if you drop down, "And the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee," talking to Mary, continuing, "and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." What an amazing thing that the Almighty God, who lived in perfect union of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for eternity past, that the Son would come down and become a man, be tortured, and die on a cross. By his stripes we were healed. By his death we are redeemed. We are saved from sin. And then he would die and be resurrected the third day. This was all part of God's plan for you. He had you in mind. And so we must consider this is not just a wonderful story, but we must see, how does this apply to me? See, when I was growing up in church, I've been in church all my life. I've been in church like 45 years or so, growing up in church. But early on, I heard the story of Jesus dying on the cross, but I didn't understand how it applied to me. What does it mean that he died on the cross for me? How does that help me? And you know, we can read the Gospels and see that it happened, but not until we get into the epistles of Paul, where he explains what the crucifixion was all about and how it applies to us, that Jesus took our place, that the punishment that we deserved, he took for us. So when he died, we died with him. We were co-crucified with him. And when he rose from the grave, we rose with him from death to life. And once you put your faith in Christ, you are alive forever and ever. Your sins are washed away like they never happened. What a glorious thing. Any of us that are believers in Christ should don't neglect to always think of how great God is, that he would save a sinner like me. A sinner like you, a sinner like all of us, for we are all sinners. For we all have come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. And the wages of sin is death, eternal death. Not just the dying of our body, but an eternity separated from God. You know, we all live forever. All spirits that God creates, they live forever. It's only a question of, will you live with him, with God, or not? And so, thank God. Jesus came and died on the cross. What a wonderful proclamation. So when we talk about the Christmas story, it's not just the story of a baby in a manger. It's the proclamation of the gospel. It's the redemptive story. It's not just a story of this baby, but it is the story of death, resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ to the right hand of God the Father, so that he is calling us home. He says, I am going before you, and I am preparing, it says there's mansions in heaven in one scripture, and I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. He's going to bring you home someday. Thank God for that. He's coming. He's come to save you, and then he's gone forward before you to say, I'm preparing a place for you. I'm going to bring you with me to be with me where I am forever and ever. What good news. Hallelujah. John 1:14 says, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This is the word of God. This is Jesus Christ. And we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Without Christ, Christmas has no purpose. This world celebrates Christmas too. And they celebrate all kinds of weird myths and traditions about Santa and flying reindeer and stuff like that. But there is no Christmas without Christ. He is the center of everything. He's the center of the entire story. Every prophecy, every act of God led up to the redemption, led up to the incarnation, which is God becoming a man. That's what incarnation means, God becoming a man. Every prophecy, every act that God was doing pointed to this moment where God would send his son, Jesus, to become a man, to eventually grow up, lead a sinless life, die on a cross, and be raised again. Again, what does this mean? There was an exchange on that cross. What does it mean for me that he took our place? He took our sin and the punishment for our sin on that cross. That's what it's all about. It's about Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's not about, you know, a good moral story, a book about history. The Bible is not a book just about history. Though these things did happen, of course, it is a book to save humanity. And if you don't believe, you cannot be saved. But if you do believe, hallelujah, you will be saved for all of eternity. And you will be where he is, without sin, without blemish, glory to God. His blood washes us. We talked about that a little earlier when we were singing and praising God. Shekinah did. Hallelujah, thank God. But the blood. We should highly esteem the blood. We should highly esteem what Christ has done for us and never neglect it. Never think it's just a common thing. But thank God, always thank God for your salvation if you are saved. And if you aren't saved, well, this message is for you. I want you to know this redemption story. Why Jesus came and became a little baby in this manger. God has given us a promise. He promised us a redeemer. Because we could not save ourselves. And Christ is the fulfillment of that promise. Christmas is a time where we celebrate our Redeemer has come to the earth. We don't know the exact day he was born. You know, we estimate maybe this was the day he was born, but probably not. That his exact day is not important. The important thing is that he did come, praise God. And this is just the time that we can celebrate him. And of course, we celebrate him as Christians every day, all day, hopefully, and are a light in this world, a light in the darkness. We're all called to be lights in this earth. When the angel told the shepherds in Luke 2:14, they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now, when they said peace, you know, people sometimes think, oh, God came to bring world peace. You know, that's not what he came for. He didn't come to bring peace between men. He gave peace to men through Christ Jesus. He gave you the real peace, which is eternal peace. Peace with God. Hallelujah. What does this mean? That God is no longer at war with you. If you will receive Christ Jesus, you become a son of God. What an amazing thing. You will become a son, a child of God, the Almighty God, and he will take care of you. He provides for his children. He provides for his family. He will always take care of you forever and ever. That is his promise. He made a blood covenant oath through Christ Jesus to save you, and he will save you forever and ever. Thank God. Hallelujah. This is what the proclamation was all about. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward man. Hallelujah. It's not just a message of goodwill. It's really the entire redemptive plan has been made available to you. Will you receive that plan? See, it's good to know that God exists and that Jesus had done these things, but it's not enough. It's even good to know that God loves you. And it's good to even say, you know, I love God. But those things are not enough to save you. Just because God loves you, that doesn't mean that you're saved. There's something you must do. You must respond to that love. You must do something. You must receive Jesus and become born again. Jesus said, you cannot go to heaven unless you're born again. You cannot go to the Father unless you be born again. That's John chapter 3. We all know that. You must be born again, or there is no hope for any of us. Hallelujah. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Jesus is the way. John 3:36 says this, "He that believes on the Son has everlasting life, but he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Salvation requires a response. You cannot say, well, I'm just going to be neutral. I'm just going to hold and maybe someday get right with God. No, you're not promised tomorrow. You don't know that you're going to even make it over the next 2 hours, okay? You could get it in a car accident. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. And if you don't believe and really surrender your entire life to Jesus Christ, there is no hope of salvation. I'm afraid there's so many people that are sitting in churches that think that they're Christians, but are not. Because they say, well, you know, I believe in God, and I believe in Jesus, and I believe God loves me, and he died on the cross, and all these things. But they haven't done the thing that they need. They haven't responded the way they're supposed to respond. So many people don't even Christians, don't understand what it means to be born again. I've taken surveys, even here, and so many, I've asked, well, how did you become born again? What did you do? What is the process of becoming born again? And I was shocked. Many people don't know what it means to be born again and how to be born again. There's a way to be born again. It's not about going to church. It's not about getting water baptized. It's not about becoming a member of a church. All right. These are all great things and we all should do these things. It's not about taking, you know, communion. It's not about being a good person. We all hopefully are good people. And this is the tragedy. Many people that think, well, I'm a good person and I go to church. Therefore, you know, God's going to accept me. That's not the requirement. The problem was sin. None of that deals with the sin problem. Sin is so serious, you know, it took God himself to solve the sin problem. No man could solve this problem. God had to die on a cross to solve the sin problem. So sin is so serious that I think we don't understand the seriousness of it. It is literally deadly serious, and it takes God to fix that problem. That's how serious sin is. None of us can fix it. And so going to church doesn't fix it, and being a good person and getting water baptized and even believing that God existed and Jesus existed, none of this saves us. We have to become born again. Well, what does it mean to be born again? How do you become born again? Well, over there in Romans chapter 10, it talks about how to be born again. You must believe. You must make Jesus, declare he is Lord. Hallelujah. He is Lord. Romans. In fact, I'm going to look at that while I'm thinking about it. Might as well go ahead and turn there. Romans chapter 10. You can turn there too. Got a new Bible. I turned 50 this year. My wife got me a Bible. Another Bible. I got tons of Bibles. This is a new Bible. And it's a good translation. I like it. New American Standard. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and even in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. So Paul preached faith. It isn't good works that save you. No matter how good you are, you cannot be saved by how good you are. Okay? People think, well, I'm a nice person. I'm a good person. Yeah, I made some mistakes, but I'm still a relatively good person. I can promise you, you're going to hell just like every one of us were going to hell. It isn't about being a good person. There's a lot of good people, unfortunately, in hell. At least they think they were good, but none of us were good. We're defining the word good based on how we are compared to like a criminal or a mass murderer like Hitler. Oh, I'm good compared to that person. That means zero. We all have sinned. One sin is enough to condemn us for eternity. Just one. Have you committed one sin? Yeah. We've all at least lied. We've all had wrong thoughts. We've all done something that we shouldn't have done. Every single one of us. Therefore, the condemnation is death, eternal death. But faith saves us. That's what he's talking about here in Romans. So Paul went around preaching faith, not good works. Verse 9, that if you shall confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. Jesus has to be Lord. He just can't be a historical figure. He can't just be someone, he was a good person, he was a prophet. No, he has to be your Lord. That means surrendering your entire life to him. I'm talking about how to be born again. He has to be Lord of your life. We like him to be Savior. Well, yeah, I'll do whatever I have to get out of hell. But will you surrender your life to let him be Lord? That's what the Bible is talking about here. Jesus has to be Lord, not just your Savior from hell. Everybody doesn't want to go to hell, but then they want to go on living their lives however they want to live. The Bible requires complete surrender of your entire life. Jesus gave his entire life for you, and he's asking the same in return. He wants your entire life, not just a little in and a little out. You know, the Bible talks about if you're lukewarm, he'll spit you out of his mouth. It can't just be, I'll go to a church on occasion and just surrender a little bit. But a real believer, he is demanding all of your life. He wants all of you all the time. That's what Jesus being Lord of your life means. Hallelujah. Is Jesus not just someone that you think died on the cross, but is he your Lord? So you must confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. For with the heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth, confesses, resulting in salvation. So it is about believing, not about good works. It's about Jesus being Lord of your life, surrendering all to Jesus Christ. Examine your heart. Have you given Jesus Christ your entire life? Again, being good is not enough to save you. You know, being religious is not going to save you. It has to be a surrender of your entire life to him. Consider John 14:6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the only way. These words challenge us to confront our reality for a need for a Savior and a Lord. So during this Christmas time, let's not just celebrate his birth, but let's also examine ourselves. Even as Christians, if you're a Christian here today, let's examine ourselves. Is he being Lord over every area of our lives? There's probably, I know there's some areas that he's probably dealing with every single one of us. Hey, you need to deal with this. There's a problem over here. You need to fix this. You need to surrender this to me. Jesus is calling on all of us to surrender everything to him. Hallelujah. Draw closer to him. He's calling all of us, draw closer to him. The words of Jesus from Matthew 4:17, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And that is just as true today as it was 2,000 years ago when those words were spoken. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand today. Will you surrender your life to him? I'm talking to all those online as well as in the house. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is calling on you. Will you surrender your all to him? Christmas is a reminder of this ultimate salvation through Christ alone. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him." Jesus is knocking at the door. And what he did demands a response. Will you respond and surrender your life to Jesus Christ? Let him be Lord of your life. Let him be Savior of your life. Repent, believe, and receive the greatest gift of all, Christ Jesus himself. Hallelujah. John 14:1, Jesus said this, believe in God. You believe in God, but he said also believe in me. You must believe. It's an act of faith, not of works. You know, I must ask the question, if any of you died tonight, or any of those listening to the sound of my voice died tonight, would you go to heaven? Would you go to heaven? Many people would say, I don't know. Others would say, yes, I think I would. Well, I want you to know, and I want you to be saved right now, and I'm going to extend to you an invitation to be saved this morning, right now. And many of you that would say, well, I think I would be saved. Well, I can tell you, thinking you're going to be saved is not going to get you there. Again, being a good person, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to play religious games with you and beat around the bush. That going to church and being a religious person is not going to get you to heaven. All right. Well, I was water baptized and I joined the church and I became a member and I took communion. None of that saves you. You're still on your way to hell unless you do something, unless you respond and become truly born again. Well, you know, I grew up in a Christian home and I didn't worship, you know, I wasn't a Muslim or a Buddhist or worship Allah. I'm an American and grew up in a Christian home. I don't care if your parents were saved, that doesn't save you. You have to respond. You have to believe. You have to surrender. It's your choice. Jesus coming in what we call Christmas as a baby in a manger demands a response. Him dying on the cross demands a response. His raising from the dead demands a response from you. It has to be you saying, I am a sinner. I am in need of a Savior. I know I'm on my way to hell. Even though I've done many good things, none of those matter because of the sin problem. I have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and I need a Savior. I call out on the name of the Lord. I'm going to pray with you right now. If there's anybody in this place that would say, I want to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. You know, the Bible says, if you're ashamed of me and this wicked and perverse generation, I will be ashamed of you before God and the Father's before the Father God and the angels in heaven. So I would ask of you, don't be ashamed right now. If there's anybody under the sound of my voice that wants to call on the name of the Lord and say, I repent of my sins. I want to come to Jesus and become born again. I'd like to see your hand. Anybody that's never done that, or even somebody that has gotten away from God and say, I want to repent of my sin and come to the Lord Jesus. You can raise your hand. I want to pray with you. And I know there's a lot of people online, you know, thousands that watch us online. And I want to ask you, are you ready to accept Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life? Are you ready to turn from sin and repent and give him your entire life? He gave his all for you. Will you give your all for him? If you want to pray that prayer with me, I'm going to pray for you. Pray with me this prayer. Let's all close our eyes and pray prayer of salvation. Father God, I believe Jesus came and died on the cross for me. He rose again the third day for me. He surrendered his entire life for me. God, I repent of my sin. I ask you to forgive me. I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of my life from this day forward. Have all of my life. I surrender all of my life to you, Jesus. Forgive me. And I thank you that by faith, I have received Jesus and you have forgiven me and cleansed me and made me a son of God. That one day, I will be with you where you are and be with you forever and ever, cleansed, washed from sin. I thank you, Jesus. And in his name I pray, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer online, let us know. You can go to ChristUnveiled.org and just send us an email there and let us know you prayed that prayer. I would encourage you to get in a good church like this that preaches the Bible. That's not just a good talk. But preaches the cross and him crucified. Hallelujah. That's the important thing. The word of God that preaches the cross and him crucified. Hallelujah. Start reading your Bible. I want to encourage you to read starting in the book of John. But this holiday season, this Christmas season, let's let Christ be the center of it all. Wherever we go, share Christ. You're going to be around family and friends. Pray and share the gospel of Christ. You know, well, I don't have an opportunity. Well, volunteer to pray for the meal. And in the meal, tell them the gospel. Not the meal, but in the prayer that you pray, tell them the gospel. As you pray, say, "Dear God, thank you that Jesus died on the cross." And go through the whole gospel while you're praying. And tell them the gospel story. Hallelujah. When you're praying, let them hand it over to you and pray. And get some folks saved and make yourself available to your family and say, you know, God loves you. I love you. If you need anything, I'm here for you. I want to pray for you. Be a light wherever God has placed you. Amen. Hallelujah. How about we give praise to God this morning? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Can we give Pastor Taylor another hand clap? He will certainly be missed. And I know I have really enjoyed him. I have a few announcements. If you haven't already given, we ask that you would please help support us in giving so that we can reach people all over. First Worship 2025 will be December the 31st here at 11 o'clock. And there's a sign-up sheet out in the lobby on one of the tables out there. If you need a food basket, December the 22nd is the cutoff. And there will be no Bible class December the 25th, this coming Wednesday, and next the Wednesday after that, January 1st. So if you would please stand, I'm going to dismiss us. I want to thank all of you who came out this morning. Thank all of you who joined us online. Hope that you enjoyed it as well, because Christmas is not merry without Christ. Let us remember that as we celebrate Christmas. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to be here. Thank you for Jesus coming and dying on the cross and giving us life, that we may have life more abundantly with him. Without him, life is not abundant. So we thank you, Father, for loving us so much that you sent your only begotten Son, who was born, who walked this earth. He died and rose in 3 days, just for me, just for you. And let us remember that as we gather with friends. For it is in Jesus' most precious and holy name that I pray. Amen and amen. You're dismissed.